Now, as I said, as Gentiles before Christ, we were in a heap of trouble, a mess of trouble. In fact, Paul says here that there are four tragic truths about us outside of Christ. And we're going to break them down one at a time. I want to paint the bad news before we get to the good news, just so we get an idea of how precious and priceless this is. As Gentiles outside of Christ, Paul says, number one, we were excluded from citizenship in Israel. Doesn't that rock your world? Yeah, okay, well. Now, what he's talking about there, some of you are probably, well, you know, I don't know. You know, we live in the United States of America. I'm kind of glad to be a citizen here. I mean, you know, it's not like I lay awake at night saying, boy, I wish I was a citizen in Israel. I mean, you know, gosh, they have like desert out there and terrorists and, you know, man, what's not to love? So what is he saying here? We were excluded from citizenship in Israel. What he's talking about, he's not talking about, well, gee, wouldn't it be nice to be a citizen of that country? Because it's kind of pleasant and they have palm trees and figs and, you know, gefilte fish over there. He's saying this, by being excluded from that nation, that chosen people of God, we were excluded literally from being one of God's people. We were excluded from fellowship and relationship from the living God. There was a barrier there that we were not allowed to enter. And that's serious. This is what God, when we talk about being the people of God, this is what God told Israel it really means. Back in Exodus, back when they were running around the desert with Moses, he said, let me tell you how precious and priceless you are to me. Let me tell you just how much love and affection I have for you. He describes it in Exodus 19. This is what it means to be the people of God. God told Israel this. He said, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. And later in Deuteronomy, he said, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. Can you imagine being called God's special treasure? What are the things that you treasure? If you just take a moment and say, of all the things that I have in my household, in my possessions, what is the one thing that is most priceless to me that I would be grieved to lose? Wow, that's pretty special. Children, spouse, a home. And he is saying to them, you are that way to me. When I think of you, when he thought of his people, Israel, he was saying, you are a special, priceless treasure to me. I have chosen you from among all the nations of the world. Not because you were greater than them, not because, you know, for anything, but because I have chosen to set my affection on you, and I am going to love you. I am going to show myself faithful to you. And he chose them because he had a special purpose with them. He was going to give them the revelations about himself, the prophecies about the one who would eventually come to be the Savior of the entire world. He needed them to be holy to him so they could safeguard the treasure of that revelation, so that it could endure through thousands of years and generations, so that when finally the Savior of the world, the Christ, came to earth in human flesh, people would know who he was. And they would know the impact that that had. And because he had that special calling on them, he loved them with a friendliness and an affection. He showed his faithfulness to them. He gave them promises that he would bless them with abundance and prosperity, that he would defend them, and he wanted to show forth his glory in them. Think about that, to be a vessel for the glory of God. That's what he had called them to be. That is a high calling. And you and I, we were excluded from that. That was not for us as Gentiles outside of Christ, because we were not born into that nation. That was a covenant you entered into through birth and through circumcision. We did not have a covenant with God. We were on our own. And that brings up the second tragic truth. We were not only excluded from citizenship in Israel, Paul said we were foreigners to the covenants of the promise. Now, God made some amazing covenants, contracts. He gave His word, promises, and covenants to the people of God. Through Abraham, He said, you know, Abraham, I am going to make of you a mighty nation. Even when Abraham was unable to conceive any children, He said, I am going to make so many kids come out of your loins that it will be beyond number. It's going to be like the sand of the sea or the stars of the heavens. He said, I am going to bless them and they are going to be a blessing to the entire world. He said, I am going to give you land. I'm going to give you an inheritance. I am going to give you a place in the world. Have you ever felt like you wanted a place in the world? You wanted a purpose. You wanted a reason for living. You wanted to know that you were here for some reason, something that God has for you to do, that you were not just an accident of nature, some speck in the universe, some meaningless piece of tissue that was alive for a while and then one day dies and turns into dust. Have you ever felt that you needed some kind of significance because you felt called to something greater than yourself? God said to Abraham, I am going to give you a place. I am going to give you a place in this world, a land to call your own, so that I can bring this people out through you. And they are going to be a great family, and through you and through them, they are going to bless the entire world. That's a purpose. What an amazing promise. What an amazing covenant. And God made a blood covenant with him, and he swore by himself that he would fulfill that. He made a covenant with Israel through Moses at Mount Sinai. And he said if Israel would obey his voice and heed his covenant, that he was going to bless them in amazing ways. He said, you will be blessed coming in. You will be blessed going out. I'm going to bless you in the city. I'm going to bless you in the country. I'm going to bless the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds. I am going to make your enemies flee in terror before you, and you will rule the nations. They will fear you. You will lend and not borrow. You will be the head and not the tail. You will be above and not beneath. God gave them promises and a covenant of exceedingly great favor to be with them as a nation. And these promises that God gave to them, we did not have. Why? Because we are Gentiles. Amen. And we were not only excluded from citizenship in Israel, we were foreigners to those covenant promises. God did not make a covenant with us. We were on our own. Sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? It hurts, doesn't it? It's like, ouch. Gets worse. Don't you love this? Don't you love coming to church? Gets worse. You're like, man, I'm so glad I'm here on Sunday. What day is it? And I'm so delighted in here. Man, I'm excluded from citizenship. I don't have any part of the covenants. And pastor says it's even worse than that. Thank you. Paul said, number three, we were without hope in the world. We were utterly in despair and without hope and had no reason to hope. We had no basis for hope other than our own presumption. We had no covenant with God. All we had was ourselves, and deep inside we knew we desperately needed more than that. And we had no covenant, no basis, no testimony, no evidence. And we knew inside of us that there was a deep need for something greater than us, that cried out from our depths of our soul. But we didn't know who he was or how to reach him or how to know him. We were groping in darkness, Scripture says. And Paul says, gets even worse. I can just see the excitement on your faces. Excluded from citizenship, foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope in the world, and finally, number four, we were without God. Cut off, hostile enemies of God. That's pretty bad. Thank God Thank God that he did not leave us there. Thank God that he didn't just cast us off and forget about us. Thank God he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Thank God, it says at the end of that verse, as heavy as that is, as ponderous as that is, he closes with a great and precious promise, Ephesians 5:13. He says, but now. Everybody say, but now. Praise God. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. When Christ died, when he hung upon that cross, nailed to that piece of wood, bleeding and suffering, his flesh torn and shredded, his back ripped apart, blood pouring into the sand. As he hung there, he was taking the penalty for all the things that separate us from God. He was literally tearing down the barriers between us and God and reconciling us to him. That suffering was a great price, but it was not in vain. Scripture says that he embraced the cross and endured it for the joy that was set before him of bringing many brethren into the kingdom. He had you on his mind when he hung on that cross. He saw you and loved you. And as he hung there on those nails with pain coursing across every fiber of nerve in his being, he said, you are worth it. I will gladly hang here because there is something far greater that I'm purchasing in the process. That cross was tearing down everything that stands between us and the fullness of the promises and the blessings of God. And it has utterly and absolutely decimated any barrier between the believer and the Father. There is now nothing that stands between us and God. The doors of heaven are thrown wide open. The riches, the veritable riches of the kingdom belong to you and to me because of Jesus Christ. In Christ, all of the wrath of God against us is gone. In Christ, all of the wrath of God, all of the wrath of God is gone. Christ completely, utterly satisfied God's wrath for sin against the believer. So there is nothing standing between you and the Father. He sees you in Christ with a seamless robe of righteousness. Praise God. This is how Paul describes it. See if you can pick up the key word in this. It's subtle. Ephesians 2:14.